It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumenz.
Greetings and salutations again, everybody. It's your... Yeah. Oh, there they are. There they are. Our live studio audience. It is thrilled to be joined with us here at Product Genius with the star of the show. I'm your slightly annoying co-host, Stephen Julian. Let me get out of the way and just introduce the star of the show, Tiffany Krumenz. Greetings, Tiffany.
Good morning, Stephen.
Is it morning?
It's morning, all right. Yeah, we are far, far away from where we typically are, but in a great place.
So I don't know if our listeners have read the fantastic books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or been suckered into the fantastic series of teachings and the live stuff that they do. But we're not with Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We have Noah McNeely from Product Quick Start, who's going to be doing Rich Inventor, Poor Inventor today. So stick around and listen to that. Also, we'll see if Noah can bring his fantastic self in the morning hours, because we found out he's not a morning person before we got on the air. Tiffany, what is new in the life of Mom Genius and in the life of someone who doesn't acknowledge herself as an influencer, but really is an influencer, she who is known as Tiffany Krumenz?
A lot is new, actually. I just did a pitch from my kitchen yesterday for QVC. And not
curveball, slider, fastball, in honor of today being we're taping on the opening day of Major League Baseball season.
No, me apologizing and pointing to all the parts of my kitchen that weren't finished, like my backsplash and my, but it went extremely well. It was a lot of fun.
And we can't really reveal yet about the pitch.
Yeah, it's actually a brand that I'm working with at Mom Genius that I would be marketing their product. So we didn't help with development of the product. We'll just help with the next stages of actually it hitting the market.
Nice. And so, and you did another taping, last month down in Florida.
We did a commercial shoot and for Ava, because Ava's been management has been moved over to Better Family. So yeah, a lot of big things have been happening.
And in the meantime, you're helping your kids going through homeschool and yada, yada, yada. Yep. Man,
you name it.
You, as usual, this show that you're listening to, Product Genius with Tiffany Krumenz, we try to be a voice. I try to be a source of some type of genius for people who are helping build product-based businesses. And as Tiffany was sharing that part of her story and her kind of current status in life and where she's at and what's going on, a lot of people were raising their hands and saying, amen, right? Because we're all kind of getting revamped and restarted back up. And so we brought Noah McNeely from Product Quick Start into a unique studio today, and we made him come in the morning. Noah, welcome to the... different studio for today.
Well, thanks for having me. And I do want to point out that when you said you found out I'm not a morning person earlier, it kind of sounded like there was an incident. There was no incident.
No, there was no incident. No, for the record.
I just confessed publicly that I am more of a late bloomer as the day goes on.
But part of that has to do with your wife's schedule too, right? Doesn't she have kind of a weird overnight schedule or something?
She does. She's in healthcare. And so our whole family sort of, over the years, transition to more of a, we kind of get going around 9, 10 o'clock, then we're lucky to get in bed by midnight.
Right.
I will state unequivocally for the record, Noah has been an absolute delight to hang out with this morning. How's that? Noah, as usual, which you now are becoming semi-famous podcasting genius, famous for your pre-show emails of what are we going to talk about this month? Before we get to that, I do just want to acknowledge one very important thing, and that is that Product Genius is coming to you today from the conference room of FSI. When we did it a couple months ago, we thought we'd never be back. And lo and behold, we are here today. We're actually taping this April 1st, 2021, which is the silver anniversary of FSI. Yep. Fulfillment Strategies International, been around for 25 years. They help people with third-party logistics. They are a wonderful company, and they are a wonderful part of our Product Genius table. So we're
thrilled.
And can
you believe we've been with them for four of that?
Yes,
25?
I can.
That's crazy.
I can.
Four or five now, right?
I can't keep track.
That's
so
crazy.
Math is not our strong suit.
No. My strong suit.
Math is an engineering strong suit.
That would be 20%.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go. And so I just wanted to give that quick shout out before we get into the topic. So we've left the people breathless with anticipation, Noah, because all I gave them was that your topic today that you thought might be a good idea. And you gave two good ideas. We're saving the other one. So we'll save that. I'll tease it toward the end of the show. But rich inventor, poor inventor. Obviously, I picked up the reference, the cultural reference to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki. He doesn't need any of our publicity. He's got enough.
And I'm going to have to be perfectly honest. I've never read that.
So, yeah, I haven't either.
Aside from the title.
Okay, well, since we're all sharing, I got six chapters in and was like, this is a joke. So I'll give you the gist. As usual, with good books, you really only need to read the first two or three chapters. He talks about owning a business. He says it's all about ownership, which is what we're doing because product-based business owners and product-based businesses. So enough talking about Kiyosaki. Rich inventor, poor inventor. Would you like me to read the bullet points or do you just want to plow into it?
Why don't we plow in and then you can read the bullet points when I run out of energy.
I like it. So what was your thinking when you came up with that other than the pithy cultural reference?
Well, you know, as you guys know, I have a lot of different types of clients. I do have clients that are the independently wealthy type. You know, they've sold businesses and now they're looking for something else to do. I've had successful surgeons. I've had, you know, a wide variety of fairly wealthy clients that have plenty of resources. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I have everyday people like you and me. And, you know, we know Tiffany's independently wealthy, but other than that.
According to the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. You get all those residuals from Shark Tank,
right? Oh, my God. And there's like a net worth thing of me online. I don't even want to talk about it.
Anyway, a lot of us, like myself, I'm providing for my family. Everyone around this table provides for their family. I have a lot of clients in that category as well. And it occurred to me that there's possibilities of reaching success across that entire spectrum of how much resources you have to put into something, whether it's very little or a lot. And there are different strategies that we can take to help you succeed.
So we can go in so many different directions with that topic, but you mentioned the spectrum and obviously one end of the spectrum is independently wealthy. I sold a business and I have millions of dollars at my disposal. The other end of the spectrum is I can barely rub two nickels together. And when I squeeze them so hard, the E pluribus laps over the unum. So we've got that, right? Those are the two opposite. Shout out to Jack Benny. Those are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. But can you give a very concise example of what that looks like when you're trying to develop the product, both with minds that you need to avoid and benefits? Is there a benefit to coming at this with very little in terms of resources? Tiffany is nodding yes. So I'm going to challenge her on that.
There can be a benefit to being scrappy and frugal in the beginning and not having all of that money. Like you said, some of his clients do and so willingly throw at everything. I mean, I guarantee there's been people who have shoved money down Noah's throat of buy this, buy that, buy the biggest, best, you know, whatever prototype. And there's been times where he probably didn't want to or knew it wasn't best. So there can be a good side to that.
So the scrappiness and the, I got to make every penny count sometimes could lead to more focus.
Yeah. More profit.
And the negative of that is if you have unlimited resources or vast resources, you might have a tendency to potentially be a little more, whatever. Yeah, dude, give me three prototypes and let me pick my favorite.
I would say having to be conservative with how you spend your resources can help you sharpen your idea quite a bit, help you sharpen your business plan if you're open to that. The other thing I would say is there's actually, you know, everybody has constraints. You know, even the millionaire, there's a point beyond which he or she is not willing to invest in an idea. Now, everybody's got that breaking point. For you, that might be $5,000. For someone else, it might be $1 million. For a company, it might be $100 million. But everybody has that limitation in what they can invest in something.
No matter whether you have very little resources, and we're really talking about money for the main thing, there is a topic of time, which I'm going to get into in just a second. But when it comes to the idea of money, would you suggest, no matter where you are on the spectrum, that you try from as soon as possible on day one to try and earmark amounts? Hey, I need to get to this stage for under $5,000. I need to get to from design to prototype to, you know, kind of lay out a budget early, at least have some parameters.
I think it's very important to understand what your resource limitations are as early as possible and to also understand the different steps along the way as early as possible and make sure those align. I mean, you have to, we'll talk about this next show, but you have to balance.
That's a great tease.
Yeah, it's a great tease. You have to balance your resources against the realities of the world as well. And, you know, two of the things that, I guess, two of the mantras I have, one is efficiency. As you guys know, I'm very focused on startups. I used to run a different company that was not startup focused and it had different parameters. So efficiency is one of the mantras I have. The other is honesty. And so someone comes in the door, I'm going to spend time looking at their idea through the best lens possible. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to have a good bedside manner. At the same time, I'm going to be honest with them and try to meet them where they're at. So if they've got, you know, $5,000 is a ton of money for them and they're trying to build the next smartwatch, I'm going to work with them to talk them back down. Like, what can we take away? How can we make this a bite that's small enough for you to chew? And I think that's kind of part of what you're talking about, is understanding what your resource limits are and making sure that's a match with what you're trying to achieve.
And what you just described, Stephen, unfortunately, is not possible for the inventor to do. So an inventor can't walk in and go, I've got $5,000 for this piece, I've got $10,000 for this, because they don't know what those pieces are and what they cost.
Okay.
They're going to come in to Noah and do that, and then he's going to say, I'm sorry, but that is this price no matter what.
Right.
So he can help them do that because he knows this industry. He can sit down and see the different stages and maybe lay it out, but they can't do it without a great engineer.
Yeah, stuff costs what stuff costs.
Right.
And the key there is to make sure you're paying for the right stuff.
There you go. And Tiffany, I was going to ask you, because you have we all know your story, and that's part of the reason why you do this podcast. So the very first product with Ava the Elephant, you had 6 clay models, you go on the pilot episode, and then you and Barbara are just kind of learning as you go, right?
Yeah.
And figuring out the best way to use her investment. Now that you've been doing this through Mom Genius, now that you've been kind of mentoring some people and getting connected on LinkedIn and helping people through this process, where do you come at this now when it comes to this spectrum that Noah is talking about? What are you noticing now that you couldn't have noticed before because of the show forcing you to kind of run through this quickly? Are you recognizing, different parts of the spectrum, or recognizing this idea of this process? You have a better overview of what's going on?
I definitely have a better overview because I've done it so many times over now, but I basically notice exactly what I just told you with Noah. I'm still having to go to an engineer like Noah to know what different stages are for different products, because every single one is so different. You know, if I'm designing, like you said, an electronic device, that's something I'm not familiar with. So I'm going to have a professional, even with my experience, walk me through what that looks like.
So Noah, let me ask you, change to a different idea. Trading time for money. What does that mean to you when I say that? Which is your phrase, by the way, but.
So what I was going for there is that, you know, if you've got plenty of resources, you can come in and you can say, I can quote you a project, or someone else, you know, anyone else can quote you a project, and it's going to be this amount of money and we'll take this many weeks to do it. And I have clients that, you know, they have the resources. I've got one client that's fantastic. He's got plenty of financial backing. I sent him an invoice. I think he lives on his computer. He pays it within an hour, which is great. On the other end of the spectrum, I've got clients that are, you know, they're Uber drivers, they're nurses, they're gardeners, you know, et cetera. And I have this one lady I'm working with now, and she's like, you know, I have my budget. I can put $300 a week toward this. And, you know, it's a multi-$1,000 project that has to be done to get her the minimum she really needs to have to go make her presentations with. And I'm working with her because A, I like her. I like the idea, and she's not going to be a jerk like some people I run into. So we've worked out a way to take what would probably be a 3-week project. We're stretching it out to about 3 months, $300 a week. And then we, instead of having a call every week about progress, we have a call once a month about progress.
And very few engineers would do what he's doing with that. I mean, it's not interesting to them. You know, they don't want to earn the $300 a week and drag something out.
Right.
They want it now. So,
you're willing to stretch that out trading time for money.
I am. And there are others out there that'll do it. But I guess my point there is a couple things. Number one, trade your time for money in the sense that there are things you can do on your own without paying me to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to advise you about those things. Hey, go do this. Don't pay anybody to do it. The other side of that is if you're going to ask me or someone else to work with you like this, to meet you where you're at, you're going to have to kind of sell me a little bit. I mean, if she had come in and treated me like a used car salesman, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be working together.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, if she come in with a check for here's hundreds of thousands of dollars or I've got this much in the bank, yeah, she could treat me a little bit like a used car salesman. I'd get over it. But, you know, money can cover up
multitude of sins.
Personality problems. But
yeah, it can cover over some sins.
I've absolutely. Gotten to the point of life where I don't know if that's no, there, true.
I have
for
my
me
limits.
Anymore.
Oh, I absolutely yeah. have my limits.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
But
I just hit one of those last week. I can't believe it. Anyway.
If you're going to ask me to work with you in a special way, I need to, you know, A, are you going to be fun to work with?
Yeah.
B, do I believe in the idea? So even yes. still, because $300 a week, that's a lot of money for her. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take that knowing exactly. that it's going to fail. So I'm still going to give my honest advice about, you know, in her case, I think it has some legs to it, so that's different. But if she come in with something which I think there's no way to get this to market, there's no way to manufacture it, yada, 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 I'd try to talk her down to something that we could work with.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, she might have still said no, and that's okay. That's her prerogative.
If people have been a longtime listener of this show, and if not, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to some of our shows in the archive, even some of the shows back on businessradiox.com. Noah, you've been part of the show almost from the beginning. And I think one of the things, because when I saw Trading Time for Money, what I was thinking about is how many times you've told us and our listeners, there are some things we can do with our time to prepare ourselves so that we're not paying mm-hmm. for your time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Some of the research, some of the background, almost, you know, and let's start with the beginning, fill out the survey, you know, mm-hmm. fill out the stuff and give you as much information as possible so that you're not wasting their time and they're not paying for time that they don't need to pay
and
for.
And read every word right. on Noah's website. I mean, he's got a wealth of knowledge in his website where if you read through all of it, you wouldn't go and ask him the same questions. I get that all the time.
Yeah.
I had people consult with me just last week who bought my consult plus course. And so they had access to my course. They still got on the phone call and asked me questions that were in the course. And, you know, I mean, some of that's just newness, you know, they don't know, or they didn't take the time, or they didn't have the time, but they could have seen some of that and then spent that time, you know, further elaborating on those questions. So
thankfully,
same with Noah.
When my clients ask the same questions over and over again, they usually know. And they're like, I'm so sorry I'm asking this. I'm like, yeah. You're paying me, so it's fine. I have no problem answering the questions.
As you guys know, and as some of the people listening may know, I used to run a different company prior to Product Quick Start. It was a much bigger company. And a lot of our focus was on bigger clients like Procter & Gamble and Black & Decker and household names. In fact, mm-hmm. you probably own or have owned products that we developed. And it was a little bit different scenario there because when Kimberly-Clark comes in the door, they do not want to do all those things on their own. They're mm-hmm. hiring us to do that. Mm-hmm. That's a different space. And that was kind of goes back to what I was mentioning a minute ago of stuff costs what it costs, but only buy the stuff you need, mm-hmm. especially as an entrepreneur. In that previous company, we were set up very differently. We would do all this stuff, which frankly, I do not recommend entrepreneurs do. And that's why Product Quick Start was created with a focus on efficiency.
Mm-hmm. Our friend Brock Coles has talked about that so many times with us, where he said that he worked with these big corporations where they just threw money at ideas right. and then they'd scrap them, you know, hundreds yeah. of thousands of dollars on an idea. And then said, no, we decided not to move forward with that. You don't have that position as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. As an example, I did a project for a brand of Procter & Gamble, and they flew us around the country to sit in on focus groups for, you know, we want to do a focus group in the Northwest, the Northeast, you know, yada, yada, yada. That's great. Procter & Gamble can afford to do that. That helps them take another 1% of risk out of the project. But an entrepreneur, you need to do your market research differently. And I can give you some advice on how to do that, and you can go do it yourself.
Yep.
Now, my market research friends out there, their own market research companies, are screaming at me right now. So right. don't tell them that.
I say the same thing. Yeah. Get on LinkedIn, ask questions. Get on Facebook, ask right. questions.
So taking the right size bites. I was given that advice by my mother
yes.
when I was very young.
Well, you don't want to choke to death and you don't want to starve to death, right?
Correct. Correct. And growing up in a family with two older brothers and an older sister, I mistakenly thought you better grab everything you can and eat as quickly as possible or there's nothing left. Yeah, but what What do you mean by taking the right size bites when it comes to being a rich inventor or a poor inventor?
Well, it reminds me of an old Far Side cartoon. You guys know Gary Larson, the Far Side. I used to love those, but I remember this one where it's a playground and there's this slide, and at the bottom of the slide, there's these two spiders that have built a web, and one of them turns to the other and says, "Frank, trust me, if this works, we'll eat like kings." So obviously when the kid gets on the top of the slide and slides down, he's going to wreck the web and crush the spiders. And it reminds me of that because sometimes I meet inventors that, you know, they have $5,000 or $10,000. That's all they have to invest in something. And they want to do that new smartwatch. And I'm like, within the span of seeing them with them, I'm like, we're going to have to hire an electronics engineer. That's going to be $150K. We're going to have to hire a software person. That's going to be $200K. Whatever all the bits and pieces are. And my message to them is that this is not the right size bite for you. So there's two ways to go about it at this point. A, let's defeature this and make it the right size bite for you. Or you're going to have to go out and get other people to help you with this. You're going to have to go out and get bigger fish to help you chase this whale down, or sharks in case of Shark Tank. And you have to understand that they're going to take a big chunk of the profit there too. And that's okay. I mean, that's all part of how that works. In those scenarios, my role becomes more helping them get to the point where they can make that presentation. Maybe it's a prototype. Maybe it's just animations. Maybe it's just pictures of what it could be. And then they work with someone like Brock to develop IP and et cetera. Excuse me. So that's really what I mean by that. Now, if you've got a lot of resources, if you're the person that has sold the company and you're sitting on this nest egg, then you have a wider range of bites you can take. You can take a bigger bite and a smaller bite. If you're sitting on very limited resources, if you've got $300 a week, then we need to find that bite that's right for you. And we also need to be very diligent to make sure that it has a chance of success.
Because sadly, we've seen time and time again, people who don't have the money, they just don't have it. And they take out a second mortgage on their home, or they do something, they take their kids' college funds, or they do things right that they shouldn't do to launch a product. I mean, have you seen products that are worth doing that for? I mean, if you had to look back over some of this stuff, it would have to be something pretty profound, right?
Well, hindsight's 20/20. So it's one of those things where, yes, you hear stories about people who put everything on the line and they were successful. Those are the stories you read about. Yeah. You do not see the stories that they put everything on the line and they lost it all.
Yep.
Which there are more of those stories out there, sadly. So that's a very difficult question to answer. Mm-hmm. Me personally, there is nothing, no idea. Mm-hmm.
Same
here. I'm in this business. There's no idea I would put everything on the line for, because even if it is the best idea in the world, even if I do everything perfectly right, there are a lot of reasons it could still fail outside of my control.
It sounds like, you know, it's funny. We what a great title to what we're talking about. And after talking about it for about 20 minutes, I think we're coming back to one of the very first things that we talked about with you from one of the very first times you've been on our show, which is, hey, I won't overcharge you for your time. Let's sit down and I can help you lay out the path of what this is going to look like and what's going to be needed to be done. And you can give some very general ballpark. But like you said, when you're talking about a smartwatch, it's going to cost this for this. It's going to cost this for this. So from the very beginning, spend a small amount of money and a couple hours of their time or 1 hour of their time or whatever. And let's lay out the path of whether you need to be a rich inventor or a poor inventor.
If you are resource challenged or resource limited, then you need to look at any challenges I give you or other people give you. Those are worth more than you could pay for them.
Right.
And hear them.
So you come in the door and you're like, I got this brilliant thing, and it's got this and this and this and that and that. And I come back to you and I say, yeah, but there's no market for it. Or I come back to you and I say, yeah, but you'll never get it manufactured. And here's why. You've got to be willing to get out of tunnel vision and look at those things. Not to say that I'm always right.
Right.
Sometimes I'm wrong, but then you go back and you look at your idea, you look at your business plan through the lens of my challenge. And then you come back and say, oh, I looked at it, but here's why you're wrong. That's great. That's fine. you know, there's back in the 80s, they came out with the aerobic step. If someone had come in my door and said, we're going to make a plastic step, I would have said, I don't think this is a good idea. And obviously it was.
That's like one in a million, though. Come on.
It is one in a million. But I'm not always right. However, if I can challenge something, an inventor or an investor can challenge it, anyone can challenge it, you need to have an answer to my challenge. Otherwise, you just got your blinders on.
The step is much like professional wrestling. If it didn't already exist, you would go, well, that can't exist. That can't be real.
Yeah.
Brian Regan has a great bit about the doorbell rings. My step is here. And you get off the couch and run and go with your step.
And that's the worst in our position when we encounter those people and we tell them all of the cons and all of the things that might go wrong. And they just literally let it go in one ear and out the other.
Because they're chasing their dream.
Yeah.
Well, people, you know, terrible. People come to Product Quick Start through the show and through other places. And a lot of them probably think I spend the first 20 minutes on the phone call trying to talk them out of it.
Yeah.
And you kind of are.
Yeah.
I kind of am. But the point is, if they get through that and they're like, well, here's why it's still a good idea because of that, then they're more likely to succeed, in my view. If they just don't want to hear any challenges, they want to go away and find someone else to pay, fine. They can do that.
And I would even say that most good inventors, or if not all, the ones that have been very successful have quit more ideas than they've gone forward with. You know, there's never that person out there like the guy who came up with Ring that was, that was my first one and it was a huge hit. They usually had 10 before that.
The best investment in your business might be not going too far down the road of the wrong business to get into, right? And keep working at it until you find the right one that goes through it. By the way, what you laid out is, you know, if you're resource poor and you know, laying out the ideas, that's true. I think also if you're resource rich, I think it's still a good conversation to have early on, at least lay out a parameter of what this is going to really look like. Because I got $1 million might go, wow, that kind of takes up a lot more of it than I thought it would.
Yeah, I had the same basic conversations with everyone about the problems and the challenges and the potential success of the various ideas. But if you're sitting on $1 million, you can afford to make more mistakes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can afford to... If I say, I'm not sure there's a market for this, well, you can afford to take a few steps to find out.
You might gamble.
More mistakes and more left or right turns.
Yes.
Right? Like, okay, we got to here. Now we're going to go this way. Yeah. It's funny. Before you brought up the aerobic step, I was going to lean in and give a great throwback challenge, cultural reference to our past show, because I was going to lean in and very secretly say, we need more vegan options.
Well, who doesn't really?
Exactly. So longtime listeners of the show might go back and find that episode.
I'd like more vegan dairy products made from actual cow's milk.
I like it. All right. So
we are not making fun of vegans.
Not at all. We're referencing a great story from an old show.
Cheese-free cheese.
All right. So for those people who need to have that 20-minute conversation to try to be talked out of their great idea and then lead to another 30 to 40-minute part of the conversation where they can start the process, how do they get in touch with Product Quick Start?
The best way is through our website, productquickstart.com. And there is a form there we would ask you to fill out. It's a self-assessment form. Ask you a bunch of questions and... that helps us to better prepare for our call with you, and we'll send you a link to set up a call at your convenience.
So whether you're a rich inventor or a poor inventor, Product Quick Start can help you.
Yeah, well, I think so.
Absolutely. We do too. So Noah, thank you for being here, and I can't wait to get my life more in balance next time.
Yes.
As we, next time we sit down with you.
We will be broadcasting later from the yoga studio.
That's right. That's
right. Later in the afternoon Noah's request.
I'll be doing my DDP yoga and before I get into the studio. So thank you for that. Tiffany, great topic, as always, by our genius Noah from Product Quick Start.
Yes, always.
You refer people to him, but also you refer to your course. Tell everybody about that.
Yeah, so I've been doing the course for, about a year and a half now. I've had it up on my website, and it's done well on its own. People will come across my website through Shark Tank. They'll buy it. They'll do the course. They'll ask me more questions. But then that became a problem. People were coming to me and basically saying, you know, asking additional questions. They wanted to dig deeper. So I recently decided to actually, per Jody Smith, our producer's suggestion, to push it a little bit more, share it a little bit more. And it's not something I'm really comfortable doing because it's not something I want to sell per se.
She did air quotes when she said that.
But I realized if I could give an hour of consult time with the course so that they could do the course, that's the goal, and then come to me with additional questions, then let me dig deeper, then let me, you know, like Noah does, help advise on those next steps, which I'm almost always referring them right over to Noah. So that's part of it. But then that could be beneficial. And so I had some really, really great calls. I got people signing up for that course, had five of those calls this past week. Some were not so much, but most of them were incredible. One inventor shared probably six really, really great ideas. I mean, better than I've heard in 10 years. So much so that I'm going to sit with Noah and Brock and we're going to dive a little deeper into some of his ideas because he's got some solid ones. So that
was a great talk about it.
Yeah.
But I still don't know where to go.
TiffanyKrumans.com. Yeah.
And where do I go on TiffanyKrumans.com?
So on TiffanyKrumans.com, there's a course purchase option, and then there's a course plus consult option. So you can pick that one, and then right. I'll schedule a consult.
So look for the course on TiffanyKrumans.com. That's Krumans with a K, K-R-U-M-I-N-S.com, TiffanyKrumans.com. So check out that course. It's worth your time. It's worth the money, and it can lead to further conversations, which will be worth it as you help build your product-based business.
And I should probably break down, because Noah's talked so much about the process. Noah's going to dive deeper into actually developing the product. You know, he's an engineer, so he's going to look at all of that with you and decide that plan.
Recovering engineer.
Yeah. My course is more intended to tell you what my entire journey was. So start to finish, when I had a prototype that I made in my hands all the way up until I licensed and will soon be acquired, actually. That's all within that course, so that people can see and go, oh God, you know, this is what it takes, and decide, is do they really want to go down this path, or do they want to stop somewhere along the middle of that path and maybe license before they manufacture. So that was my goal with it. More than Noah is really diving deep and developing products. I'm just giving you a broad view.
Nice. All right. Go to Tiffany Krumans. I had the sale wrapped up.
Sorry.
And then she talked over my clothes there. No, I'm just kidding. Go to TiffanyKrumans.com. By the way, that great idea of doing that course and talking more about that course came from our producer, Jody Smith,
yes.
JodySmith.com. He helps people podcast. And actually, if you catch on to Jody, he's doing a little stimulus package, but he won't come on the air and talk about it. So you'll have to go to JodySmith.com and reach out to him about how you can get podcasting too. So for all these geniuses, for Noah from Product Quick Start, for Tiffany from TiffanyKrumans.com, and Jody Smith, this is Stephen Julian. I don't have StephenJulian.com, but you can search me. I'm an independent financial advisor. We'll catch you next time on Product Genius.